Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Martha Stevens. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Presenting the film To the Stars at the festival. And yes, the first question, the worst of the interview, hopefully. It might be the second worst, but we'll see. Would you just be so kind as to introduce the film for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, and then we'll try to talk about it in a little more detail.
Sure. It's a pretty classic coming-of-age story about this withdrawn girl living in rural Oklahoma in 1961 that learns to love herself and stick up for herself and defend herself once she becomes friends with this new girl with a dark past that moves into the city or town, country.
The kind of obvious follow-up question would be, how much of this is autobiographical?
No, I didn't write the screenplay. So it's not... I think it's not autobiographical, but I think that we all can relate to both of these characters or one of these characters, especially the film in general. I think it highlights also the female, just female people in this town at a time they were repressed. And I think some of that is still kind of relevant today.
Yeah.
Just societal expectations of what women are supposed to do, you know, who you can love, what you can say. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the exciting things about this film, I think, is the style itself, because it evokes a time when cinema was keeping at least those characters very much in the margins of the narratives, and also just.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's. It, in a lot of ways, the film feels like a Douglas Sirk melodrama.
Oh, yeah.
But if that could be made today with things that weren't allowed to be shown at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Although Douglas Sirk kind of did go a little further than, you know, any other filmmaker. A lot of other filmmakers would have gone at the time. Are you a fan of Douglas Sirk?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our movie's black and white, so it's a little different, but of course, I mean,
kind of
groundbreaking stuff he was doing.
But continuing on with this kind of conversation about sort of the classic cinema connection, I mean, how much do you feel that maybe, let's say, the dominant ideology of the time or even the representation of certain people in society was shaped by cinema? I mean, cinema was hugely popular at the time.
A lot.
And this is kind of, so this movie is kind of an attempt in a way to, I mean, do you see it also as an attempt to kind of do the opposite in a way?
Well, it's in a lot of ways, it's like, we didn't want to set out to make something that just felt like an homage to old films. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to still feel relative to a young audience today. I mean, it's a story about teenage girls, so we want teenage girls to see it. So we just had to find like a balance of making it not feel so modern that you can't buy into it, but also making it modern enough for millennials.
Yeah.
So we did that by, you know, it's black and white and it has that sort of silvery, beautiful look to it. And a lot of our lenses and framing choices evoke old films. But we then had the new tools that just filmmakers didn't have then, like Steadicam. So it was just this like weird marriage of different things to try to balance it.
Yeah. I'd like to know a little more about this balance. I mean, did you in any case find it sort of challenging to achieve that at some point?
I don't think so. I mean, my cinematographer and I really, really planned this out. It was sort of my entry point into the script, since I didn't write the script. And you, as a director, have to figure out what you can bring to it that's special and unique, and how you can elevate a script and how you can find your way to love it as your own, you know?
Sure.
So, because you're going to be living with it forever and you're going to be promoting it for, you know, a couple of years and spending all your time with it. So for me, it was figuring out performance and the film language, like the visual aspect of it.
Yeah. But do you like doing that? Is that something that you get some?
Yeah, I love it.
I always wonder, like, because is that something that you sort of, even as a kid reading books, you always found yourself doing that? You had this very visual kind of imagination, a way of seeing things that you were reading.
Yeah, I think so. And my mom is a painter, so I had that, you know.
Oh, really?
So we would, most people where I grew up in rural Kentucky, you know, their vacation was to the beach.
Oh.
And our vacation would be to, you know, whatever city and to go to see, you know, go to museums. And
you are from a rural part of the country.
Yeah, I'm from Appalachia.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Kentucky.
So, I mean, this film, too, takes place in a rural part. So in a rural setting, how important do you think that is for this film?
Yeah, I think what was important is feeling Iris's isolation and the idea of like a small town mentality, mob mentality is important for the story. And the fact that Maggie's character's parents bring her to a small community thinking they can keep her from things they think are immoral that the big city exposed her to.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I grew up in the Bible Belt. And even though I didn't grow up in 1961, you know, we haven't progressed that much.
That's the thing. I mean, I feel like, you know, that's sort of also the beauty of you, of seeing it and the style and maybe even the fact that it's set in a previous time. You realize that a lot of these things still take place today, you know.
Yeah.
So that's also what paradoxically I think makes this film so contemporary as well, is that these things haven't changed.
They have. I mean, they have and they haven't.
Yeah, they have a little bit. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just, you know, it's not just middle America, right? So I just, you know, I just went to a festival, an LGBTQ festival in San Francisco, and there were programmers that were getting harassed in San Francisco, like the gayest city in America. So it's not limited to just, you know, middle America.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
If we look at this film as a whole, the part of the movie that perhaps can be seen as the one that will be met with more, not opposition, but, you know, a little more hostility for some parts of the audience.
Yeah, the funny thing is that, you know, I screened this movie at a festival and my dad came to it. And my dad he's a really good guy. He's just super conservative, super Christian. And he, you know, he believes, I think he in his heart of hearts understands that that it's being gay, it's not a choice. But I think he thinks you can refrain from acting on it.
Yeah.
And he watched the movie, and I honestly think it gave him a new perspective.
Really?
So that's like the hope, is that it can make people think about what's giving, setting your beliefs, or putting your beliefs onto someone, or I don't know, can do to like a young person.
Right.
I don't know, the damage it can do.
Do you see that as maybe a big part of your work as a filmmaker? In more general terms, let's say, just communicating these things and hopefully try to help people understand their compassion, their empathy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all about empathy. I just want to tell stories about characters and hoping that people can relate to them or they can see themselves in them and just feel things. I don't set out to, I just want to, you know, tell stories. I don't necessarily have an agenda, and I don't like movies that preach to me. Mm. But I do think that there's like a way to talk about issues in a more like subtle, nuanced way.
Yeah.
And show that even though there's like characters that in our film that don't make good choices, and they, like, especially the parents, they're not, it's all from like an kind of weirdly from an act of love. It's like I want everyone to have empathy for everyone in the film.
Yeah, I feel that. There's especially the parents. I mean, I was going to ask you about that because we know, you know, in this film, it's very easy to just focus on the two, let's say, leading characters, the protagonists, Maggie and Iris, right? Mm-hmm. That's the name of the characters. But I also feel like, yeah, the parents are very important in there as well. And, you know, That's also an important aspect of your cinema. But just going back to stories, and we are running out of time, so I'm trying to, like, yes, tell stories, but also, I guess, tell stories of characters that whose stories haven't really been told before. And in that sense, what is your opinion on stereotypes? I mean, is there any use of them within a cinema like that?
Yeah, I mean, this movie deals with archetypes. Really, I mean, that's what the whole movie is. But I think that that's a great entry point sometimes for moviegoers that don't want to be as challenged, you know? And so they exist for a reason, and they're fun. Sometimes they're fun for a reason, you know? Like, you're never going to think of Luke Skywalker as a terrible character, even though you've seen some kind of iteration of him in a million things. They work for a reason. So.
Yeah. No, okay, so we're going to have to end it there, but that made me think as well. But thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thanks a lot.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.